I didn't keyboard that poem. I read it.
Yeah. Well, it's a good poem, but it's got that kind of grim lawyer in the Midwest thing, you know. Kind of. Because that's what, Masters was a lawyer, you know.
No, I didn't know. I know.
Yeah, he was a lawyer.
Because there's another reference in one of the other poems, the one that I did keyboard, there's a reference to people coming to an attorney for help.
Yeah.
Constantly, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I haven't played this for many people. I played it for Svensson. You were there.
We didn't have a piano.
Yeah, you had a piano in your hallway or something.
We did. I guess we did.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh.
I think it was a small piano, spin it type. Might have been an upright. It was not a grand.
Yeah, oh, right. Oh, it certainly wasn't a grand.
Yeah.
That's when I was going to learn to play the piano. Oh, right, because Wilder
was around at the time.
Wilder came back after he went away.
Yeah.
You know, he lived in our woodshed on Derby Street.
I know. I went out to see him out there once.
And he came back after he'd been with the Hopis for a couple of years. And he said, I want to show you what I learned. And he sat down and started to play the Bach, one of the Bach sets of piano pieces. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Wilder. I mean, as mechanical as a, utterly mechanical, but you know what? He's got all the notes.
Yeah. So
He's still, did I tell you I got a, we corresponded by email recently?
Wow.
He
was older than.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know, I thought of everybody as the same age.
Yeah.
I thought Gary Snyder was my age.
Yeah. I heard Gary Snyder had some prostate trouble.
Well, he could. He was born in 31, so how old is he now?
Yeah.
But Wilder is in his mid 80s, and he had brain cancer and was operated on, and now what he's doing in his old age?
What?
He's a car mechanic in Occidental. But I have found something on the internet. Well, one of the most abstruse things you could conceivably imagine. What's going on here? Why are you? That seems to me like that might be a very, I hate to have marketable property.
Listen to the language. You mean the one I just played? This could. There was a group in Boston that did ballad operas. They were kind of like Baroque interested people.
No, when I looked up ballad opera, I found them on, because remember I was trying to look this up?
Oh, I see. Psh,
ballad opera. Psh.
So you found that group in Boston?
I think so. We'll yeah. take another look.
Well, I communicated with them at the time I worked on this. And then there was a nun at Dominican College who specialized in this stuff. And we communicated some, and I met her.
But so you essentially have arranged the music as...
Yeah, I essentially took the songs and wrote interludes. It's the same spirit that Britten did it. Because I'd done the Britten Beggar's Opera at Athenian.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I did that. We did a performance. Good. I liked the music. And so then when I came back 10 years later, I said, well, let's write our own. Why are we doing these Broadway musicals? Because I had done my share of Broadway musicals. And I'm looking for where I put that. Maybe it's right here. Yeah. And they did it. But there is this idea of a whipping will set the recalcitrant wife straight. Because, see, Sir John Loverule's wife winds up as the wife of the cobbler who is whipping. And then he but they're both put in their place. The cobbler for his brutality toward his very innocent young wife. And she winds up with Sir John Loverule, and they have this most wonderful kissing and romance thing, you know, because apparently in the switching, they look like their original wives, see. But, and because of this conjurer who was insulted when he came to visit and he needed a...
It just sounds perfect.
It could be really good. It, you know, those were salty...
And so you have it. So it's really quite, it could be published practically like that.
Well, this is one of those works, this is what I call it, a new version of the Trisha Guy. This is one of those works where I would have to rework it. I'll show you some of the things. Now here is the cobbler. You'll get an idea of you'll get it. This is melody. He that has the best wife, she's the plague of this life, but for her, scorn and will quarrel. Let him cut her off short of her meat and her sport, and 10 times a day whoop her barrel break boys, and 10 times a day whoop her barrel. So my harmonization is... He that has the best wife, she's the plague of his life, and but for her the whistle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. is Sir John, and he's appalled at his wife because she's very shrewish and just, you know, can't, won't stop talking. And, you know, bosses all the help around. And the helper just, I mean, they, you know.
God, it sounds like the rake's progress was influenced by this.
Might have been, I don't know.
Do you know the rake's progress?
I do. I don't like some of the vocal writing in it. I know it's
I like some of it.
Yeah.
Very much. But
yeah.
But it sounds like it was...
Well, it could be. It's there's Auden. Did he write the story or did he derive it?
It comes from a piece of this vintage.
I see, yeah.
It comes from... I don't know whether it was a ballad opera. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
It may have been.
So, now listen.
Okay,
listen,
yeah.
It goes... Ye gods who gave to me a wife out of your grace and favor to be the comfort of my life, and I was glad to have her, and I was glad to have her. But if your providence divine for greater some great truth there, you know. That
well, I mean, yes, except in a I hate to say, an academic setting or a New York setting, of course.
Yeah.
This is history, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
This is history.
Well, that's what I felt.
This is history.
Yeah, yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
No, these people wouldn't understand that, but people do history that includes, you know, all the things that people don't like about women. Just like we... Well, of course, we're getting to the point here where we're not doing this, right? Where we're going to change Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah.
But...
Well, you know, what's his name, the German writer? I just read him, you know, the Flounder.
Musil? No, Gross. Flounder.
Gross. I mean, he just wallows in this stuff. It's kind of amazing. I started the second book of his. I had trouble with it.
Which one? The Rat?
Yeah. I couldn't get through it.
The Flounder's his best book.
The Flounder is damn good. But it just, it deals, I mean, he made some very witty remarks about the whole kind of feminist group.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's our right to
when
have a little
when the flounder fun. Goes on strike and, yeah. and goes down and buries himself in the sand and refuses to
in know? The trial. Oh, my God, that's amazingly funny. Now, here's Nell. Sweetness, okay. This is the cobbler's wife, you know. So this is good. My swelling heart now leaps with joy. She's been switched. She's been switched, and she just, ooh, this is what life is all about, you know. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, we have a good
This now?
That's eight songs too.
Pastoral. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That's eight songs, but I have a little, I made it easier, one of the pages easier for me to play in the, let me play two songs from this and then I will be completely more. So here. I like this piece. It's a little high in places. When I was younger, it was plain to me, I must make something of myself. Older I walk the back streets, admiring the houses of the very poor. Roof out of line, besides the yards cluttered with good idea. It's kind of a good idea.
It reminds me so much of that piece in Winesburg, Ohio. I'm not saying it's. Do you remember that one? It's the where the young boy, the high school boy, I think maybe just over high school, tries to get a date with this older, very sexy waitress at a diner or something, and she finally says yes, and he comes from middle class.
Yeah.
He walks to her house to pick her up.
Yeah.
And he walks through the poor part of town, chicken wire.
I will look that up. Yeah.
He goes out with her, and when he comes back, her boyfriend is waiting for him and just beats the shit out of him.
I remember that now.
And now, then he walks back through the same alley, and everything looks, which had looked so romantically beautiful to him, now looks.
Yeah. Wow, I will check that out.
But okay. That's.
I thought that was beautiful the way, you know, he says that young, you're all ambition and all that, but when you're older and you're looking at this, and you say, well, there's something to this, too, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to learn to do that. I've come a long way to actually. Why don't you just go out and sit down somewhere and just look at it and don't put words on it. And I actually can do that now, and it really is something that you forget how to do.
Yeah.
Or maybe when you're young, you can't even do it. I don't think. Although it seems to me when I was before puberty, I was able to do that.
Yeah. But then you get all wrapped up in yourself and your ambitions. And then you have all your prejudices that you've developed and picked up.
Just working on the farm. When I decided to sell that last place, I didn't work my... I love to work, and I work 16 hours a day, just like a horse, you know, really heavy labor.
Yeah.
And I was coming back, God, it's the middle of August, and it's just like 95 degrees, and I'm pushing a wheelbarrow full of rocks through a field, you know.
Yeah.
After it's the 10th one, and I go like, I put the wheelbarrow down, and then I looked up at the clouds, and I said, I haven't looked at the clouds, here I've been working, you know, 11 acres, I've been working like a dog to turn this into this beautiful thing, and I haven't even bothered to stop for a minute to look at it.
Now let me ask you what this means. I've said it, but I don't quite know what a line here means. This is Zegri Master.
Well, that's like that line of Thoreau that I asked you about.
Yeah. Well, you just go ahead and said it because of the rhythm of the words.
Sure, of course.
And all that, you know? But like he says, okay, the earth keeps some vibration going there in your heart, and that is you. And if the people find you can fiddle, why fiddle you must for all your life. What do you see? A harvest of clover or a meadow to walk through to the river? The winds in the corn? This is the line I don't get. You rub your hands for beeves hereafter. Ready. Wait. Here. You rub your hands for beeves. Is that referring
to
cattle?
That's the plural of beef.
I see. Hereafter ready for market.
But why you rub your hands?
Yeah.
Maybe it could be like, oh boy.
I see. You mean the money making or something. Yeah, that could be it.
I don't know what the rub your hands.
But the beauty is, see, he says, what do you see? A harvest of clover, a meadow to walk.
No, this is the one I was talking about, keyboarding, that I thought, where at the end, what is he doing at the end of this?
He goes, I ended up with 40 acres.
Yes,
I ended up with a broken fiddle and a broken laugh and 1,000 memories and not a single regret.
Yeah.
I find this very positive, actually.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Because
he's essentially saying that the people wanted the fiddle so much from him that he had to neglect the work that he thought was his, right?
Yeah. And there's one other thing in here. He says, to Cooney Potter, that's another man, I guess, a pillar of dust or whirling leaves meant ruinous drought. They look to me like red-headed Sammy stepping it off to tour lure. You know, so he sees positive in every natural phenomenon, you know. Okay, the people find that you can fiddle, fiddle you must.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that song. That's of this set, that's probably my favorite.
Yeah. You know, this occurred to me actually a while ago, but you know I have never heard you play the violin?
I think you have.
One time we went to a fiddle jamboree somewhere in the East Bay, and you might have touched it once or twice, but you were listening to other people. And I've heard you play the saxophone. I don't think I've ever heard you play the clarinet.
That's probably the instrument I had the most training on, clarinet. And
I was wondering when I was re-listening to the Sibelius, I was wondering if parts of the Sibelius wouldn't play very well on the clarinet.
Well, I did it with somebody on the clarinet. Larry London and I played it. I said, I'll write this out, I'll write this out for clarinet.
How did it sound?
It sounded very good. He doesn't quite relate to it. It's just a thing.
Well, you have to be Nordic.
Yeah, you do.
I meant to ask you, do you know about the love affair of William Saroyan for Sibelius? Have you ever read about that?
Oh, no, that's interesting.
Saroyan just completely fell in love with Sibelius's movie, music, and he had to go meet Sibelius, and he went to Finland and met Sibelius. I believe it was done as a whole book, or it's a story somewhere.
Yeah.
But it just stopped me, like, with his army... Well, I mean, they're about as removed. Their language groups actually might be related. I don't know whether Armenian is a Finno-Ugric language. But
Armenian is such a strange group. I mean, it's hard to figure it out.
Have you ever... What's going on here? What do you want?